Preparing for the birth of a child can be life-changing, and then the big day finally arrives. A new baby can fill you with joy and love, but it's also a time of intense stress and fatigue. New parents are at risk of the baby blues, postpartum depression. New research is changing the way we think about postpartum depression. Dr. Leslie Butterfield helps families deal with postpartum depression as well as a host of other challenges. Butterfield says in the past, moms would come to her in distress, unsure of what was wrong, but now
they come in and they tell me, I have postpartum depression. My mother said so. My sister-in-law said so. I read it in a book. But often they either don't have depression, they have anxiety, or they have both.
Now, what is the difference between depression and anxiety?
Depression tends to be more of a kind of a slowing down, lethargic, very negative thoughts about oneself or the situation, feeling hopeless or helpless, it's blah, you know, not just a lot of tears and sadness. Anxiety tends to be worry, feeling kind of revved up, not being able to calm down, not being able to sleep, even if you're exhausted and the baby is sleeping, then the woman still can't sleep. The thoughts tend to be very repetitive. They can be very intrusive. And in the case of obsessive-compulsive disorder, which women do develop postpartum, even if they've not had it before, the thoughts tend to be extremely disturbing.
So a new baby could sort of provoke, if that's the right word, all of these kinds of responses in a woman and her partner.
Yes, yes.
You mentioned that now patients come in and tell you that they have postpartum depression. Is that because there's more media coverage? Why is it?
I think it is because of more media coverage. I think that more women are educated about it. It is mentioned a bit more in birthing classes these days than it used to be. So the word is out. I think the positive part of the media coverage is that more women certainly can identify that something is not right, and they come in more quickly for help. The downside is that when they know something's not right, they begin to worry about whether they're going to be one of those women who was written up in the newspaper for doing something really drastically awful. And that kind of worry, of course, increases their anxiety and increases their distress a lot.
We're talking with clinical psychologist Dr. Leslie Butterfield. And part of the reason we brought you in here is that the New York Times recently ran a series about extreme cases of postpartum depression. There was one story about a new mother who'd been feeling fine. And then a few months into her son's life, he fell, he hit his head, and you were talking about obsessive-compulsive disorder. This particular mother became fixated upon her child's health, and she was so certain that she harmed him permanently, she eventually took her own life, which sounds like the worst-case scenario of many kinds of problems coming to a head.
Absolutely.
So the Affordable Care Act at the federal level and state has allocated resources to the study of maternal health. What kinds of new information about all of these possible disorders has come to light as a result of that?
It looks like we're just becoming more familiar with how prevalent postpartum and pregnancy disturbances really are. And at this point, we're pretty certain that about 1 in 5 women, it's 20%, and 1 in 10 men tend to have some kind of postpartum mental health disturbance.
Now, I mentioned the mom who was written about in the New York Times, which is a worst case scenario, but some people do develop not just depression or anxiety, but a full blown psychosis. You talked about 1 in 5. How common is psychosis?
Psychosis is probably, don't quote me here, even though I'm on the radio, it is probably 1 to 2%. Typically, women who have a postpartum psychosis are most likely to have a bipolar disorder. Unfortunately, for many, many women, their first episode of a bipolar disorder occurs during pregnancy or postpartum, so they don't know that they have that vulnerability to bipolar disorder, and they may not be prepared. If they have a family member who's bipolar, then we watch that woman very carefully and talk with her, her partner, and her family, and prepare for that possibility.
What is it about pregnancy or childbirth or both of them that can prompt the onset of something like psychosis, bipolar disorder, or anything that's maybe not as serious as that?
It's a combination, I think, of three things. The first is, of course, the extreme hormonal changes, particularly after a woman gives birth, her hormone levels drop precipitously. Put that together with sleep deprivation, which will create a lot of hardships for people at the best of times. And then for many, many women these days, a lack of social support. They're not near their families anymore. Their partners have to go back to work very, very early. There's a lot of isolation and time alone. So if you put all those three together, you have really that perfect storm for mental health disorders to start happening.
I know from my own experience with pregnancy, which was some time ago, but you mentioned a list of resources and reading things, but I found that I had every condition that I read about. It was like, you know, suggestive kind of thing. So what particular things should parents or friends or family members or whoever's closest to you or you yourself be looking for? And how do you know what's normal? Because as I said, some of us do see ourselves in every description.
Right. Well, I think of two things. The first thing you're looking for is, across time, does one begin to feel better? I think we all expect for people to have a bit of a rough time for that first, say, two to 5 or 6 weeks because of the sleep deprivation and the adjustment and the whole newness of everything. But as those weeks go by and one begins to know the baby a little and begins to learn to grab a nap whenever you can or call that friend to come over and bring you dinner, then gradually things ought to be getting better. The mood ought to be lifting. There ought to be some times of real joy and pleasure. And over time, more good days than bad days. So if that positive trajectory does not happen and the woman continues to stay at a level state of distress or a worsening state of distress, that's a bad sign. And that's someone who ought to come in person for an evaluation.
Dr. Leslie Butterfield, State Coordinator for Postpartum Support International of Washington State. If you want more information about the resources she mentioned, we'll have links at our website, KUOW.org. Tomorrow, we'll look at parental leave. The United States is one of the lowest ranking countries for government-supported time off for new parents. It's The Record.